Good morning, Panama City. Good morning to all those who are listening in. Wish you could be here with us, as already been stated. Really enjoyed that song. This is not our home. This world, as we know, is not the home that we shall establish permanent residence in. Kind of led into the sermon that I've got prepared today. Because if you like titles to sermons, the original title that I was thinking about was A Visit to Our Future, but I've actually changed it with me. If you know me, I never leave anything the same. Things just keep becoming fluid in my mind, and they just keep changing and evolving. So if you title sermons, title of the sermon, Traveling from Today to Tomorrow. Because we are literally in a journey, as we know, a pilgrimage, and we are traveling from each day into each new tomorrow. It's already been said two or three times, opening up by the speakers, some of us who go way back in time, we remember that voice. Why are you here? I heard that voice when I was 8 years of age down in Big Sandy, Texas in 1961. That's been a long time ago. I've celebrated many feasts, and God has blessed me, my family, and all of you. Some of you sitting out there have celebrated 60 years of feast keeping, and it's been a wonderful blessing. It's been quite a journey for my life personally, and I know you could say the same thing. I've often said that the Feast of Tabernacles, in my way of saying it, is like a big spiritual pep rally, because that's what it is. We're getting ready for the big event to come. And we understand and know that that big event is the kingdom of God. We cannot frame our future any better than to express it that way. If we paint the picture of tomorrow for our lives personally, that would be the kingdom of God. That is our hope. That is our dreams. And the kingdom of God is something that, as Mr. Kubik said the other day, should be uppermost, foremost, as that major frontlet right here in front of our eyes. And nothing should deter us from seeking that kingdom to come. We've traveled here, no doubt, as I look across this room, as I speak to all those who are listening in again. But those of us here have traveled from many different locations. We have traveled even more so across many spans of time. I look at all of you, I see the old, the young, the in-between, and the little children. And we're blessed, my wife and I, to have down here this year for their first Feast of Tabernacles, Samuel and Nathan Jenkins, our twin grandsons, who are 3 months old. And along with Gracie, hello Gracie back there, Pop says hello. I am a twin. My grandfather was a twin. And God has blessed us so richly in our personal family. But all of us, as has been stated, are family. And we've come here as a family to share once again in this special time of the year, yes, God's appointed times. Above all, they are God's appointed times for us to observe and to keep. Yes, but they give us opportunity to come together as a family, as a brotherhood of Jesus Christ, and to celebrate these times together. As I use that title, moving from today into tomorrow, or traveling from today to tomorrow, we have to be a people of vision. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The original King James is the one that I love the most. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy. That is a powerful, powerful verse, because without vision, and that original Hebrew word simply means revelation. Without revelation, without vision, how can we move from today into our tomorrows? We will leave here from this feast. We're in the fifth day, as been stated, and we will leave here and go back into really not our world. Think about that. We will not go back into our world. Yes, we will have to return to the world around us. But we've been here able to just kind of pull out of the world in this present time of these days and to together picture a time coming when we will be together for eternity and the family of kings and priests will be able to share eternity together with Jesus Christ as we will teach and instruct. These days are very much as well about prophetic vision, because when you analyze and look at God's whole plan of salvation, it is a prophetic plan as well. And we know from studying God's word that all prophecy of itself is divine revelation. We've traveled, as I said, from many locations and many places. But more than that, in my mind, we have traveled across many spans of years. And that's what life is about. Life is about a journey, a pilgrimage in this physical life, flesh. And we don't have to be reminded, do we, each day that we are living in temporary tabernacles. This feast again pictures living in booths, temporary dwellings, and we always are reminded as we come together observing these days that we're still here in the present. We have not yet arrived to the future yet. It is as if God has said to each of us, come, come, and I will show you your future. It is as if God says to us, come, and I will show you the future, and you can visit the future through these days. And that is what we do. We visit our future, which is the coming kingdom of God. And we're allowed to, in spiritual vision, allowed and given by the Holy Spirit, to be able to visualize what it's going to be like. And these sermons and messages that we've been hearing are telling us about these times to come. I'm reminded of Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. The Apostle John had a unique opportunity to be given great vision to actually go in allegorical terms in vision to the very throne of God. Revelation 4 and 5 draws that picture very clear. And we find in Revelation 4, 1 and 2, where after these things I looked, John, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And then verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We know, and those of us who have studied Revelation, John was allowed with great vision given to him to actually go to the throne of God in vision, to see around the throne of God, and even to see prophetically, as we all know, that the book of Revelation itself is a book that reveals the future and shows us things to come. John saw things to come, things in the future that he could not himself visualize at that day and age. We today can visualize things now as we read the book of Revelation. We can now visualize it in a way that John could not. It was humorous the other day. I'm going to have to ask Dr. Ward if he did know John. He's sitting down in front of me. Brethren, in vision, we are given great opportunity to look into our future, to be able to travel through time and space. There's a song that we sang the other day. It's page 136. It's page 136, Let All Things Now Living, is the title of it. I noticed as we were singing it, in the first stanza, at the very bottom of the first stanza, the line says, as forward we travel from light into light. As forward, we travel from light into light. What does that say to you? I was thinking in the moment of my father-in-law, Sidney Smith, who's been dead 12, 13 years. He was an elder in the church. I learned so much from him. And he would have questions sometimes from people in the congregation. And he would take his Bible and he would open the Bible and he would say, read that. They would read it. And he would say, what does that say to you? When you study God's word, when you read it, what does that say to you? What is the Spirit of God imparting to your mind as you study his word? Is it traveling forward light into light? Because your calling itself has led you into the light of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to the first chapter of John 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. He was that light. Jesus Christ brought the light into the world. Without Jesus Christ, this would be a darkened world now. And frankly, as a personal opinion, I think if Jesus Christ had never come as the Son of God, I don't think we would have a world right now, because I think we would have destroyed ourselves a long time ago. Your calling, your very calling is an open door. Your very calling is a vision, not only into the future, but into your present life. And can we say it so simply? How to walk the walk. Your calling is an open invitation, and we understand that the calling that we've been given is just that, a very special RSVP type. It's very special. And you've been given a calling and an open door to see into the mysteries of God's word. Those of us sitting in this room, I hope that we each and every one do understand that the things recorded in God's word is a mystery to the world around us. And you've had these things open to you by special revelation again, because that verse again in Proverbs simply means revelation. There was a movie a few years ago. Some of you will remember it. It was a very popular movie, Back to the Future. Remember the movie? You know, I tell people it's hard for me to do a sermon without invoking a movie line or a movie. I was here last year and I had to invoke from a movie last year, but that movie really was a box office hit. Michael J. Fox played the main character, and somehow he got into that travel machine and went back 30 years. Remember, if you've seen the movie, he went back in time 30 years. Hey, I've got a question for each of you. Do you really want to go back 30 years in your life? Do you? Answer that in your mind. Don't all say amen. I don't want to go back 30 years in my life. Now, granted, there are things that all of us sometimes probably wish we had some time machine sitting in our garage that we could just get in it and do what? Go back and erase some of the things of the past, relive certain things. And then there's those times that we'd love to get in that time machine and go back and experience what? Those good times again. To go back in a time machine and visit loved ones that we've lost. I lost my parents in 1997. Both of them died 6 months apart. Took my dad to his last Feast of Tabernacles in Branson, Missouri. My mom's last feast was in 96 in Branson. Yes, we'd all would like to go back in time and revisit loved ones and those good times. But brethren, when we really look at the past, we do understand that theoretically, we cannot go back to the past. We're living in the present right now. It's only the present that we can process. Each moment of time, as we are sitting here today, don't everybody look at your wristwatch if you have one, but time is ticking. Yes, I've got a clock in this lectern up here, and I've been told that I have a certain amount of time and I'm supposed to shut up. But I'm looking at this clock and I'm seeing that third hand is just this tick, tick, tick. Our lives are ticking away second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. That's our life. And each moment is history. Think about it. Have you ever thought about it that way? Each second became history. Each minute became history. What Mr. Musgrove spoke a while ago became part of the history of what's been said here. Time travels forward. Time, the old expression, time never stands still. Do you not wish sometimes you could just grab a hold of those best moments of life and somehow slow life down to where you can enjoy certain moments of life more, but you cannot do that because they're here and they're gone. And you're always moving, traveling from what? This moment to the next moment, and you're traveling from today to tomorrow. And that is what we're doing here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is what we're picturing. A time to come, a world to come, a world that is not here now, and how we pray and wish that it were. I've said often, and I will repeat it, if our prayers have anything in them, it should be, "Thy kingdom come." And then second, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when I look at that prayer each time, I'm reminded that it is His will that is to be done in each one of our lives. There is no way to build a bridge to the past. We cannot build a bridge that takes us back to where we've come from. We are a forward-moving people. Time again is something that gets through our hands so quickly. You ladies, some of you who are older, can remember the old soap opera, "These Are the Days of Our Lives." Like sands through the hourglass, such are the days of our life. And you look at that old hourglass and you see those sands just coming down through, and you realize that's our life. Because the sands and the hourglass seem to pass through so quickly. I don't know how I got as old as I am, but I'm here, I'm there. I must share personally with some, all of you, when I was a little boy, and our first feast was, like I said, in 1961 in Big Sandy. But when I was a little boy, I had two or three ministers tell me, "You will probably live over into the kingdom of God and get married and have children then." That was how close many thought that the time was. Some of you in this room that go back that far, you'll remember and you know what I'm talking about. I just didn't know I'd ever get this old or I'd have taken better care of myself, as people have said. If there's a theme song that we have in the song book that we have, if there would be one song in that book that I would say should be the theme song for all of us, it would be "Onward, Christian Soldiers." Because the word itself, "Onward, let's march." And that's what we do each and every day, do we not? We get up each and every day and we march. We get up with marching orders, do we not? "Thy will be done on earth." Where is the will of God being done on earth? Brethren, if it's not being done in our lives, I don't know where it is. The will of God is to be done in each of our lives every day. And we get up every day with marching orders. And we march to the tune and the beat of the way that God has set before us. Because again, we are traveling from each day into the next tomorrow. And of course, we know as well that the scripture tells us that tomorrow may not come for us. But we also know that we plan for each tomorrow as if it's going to come. And certainly in our spiritual lives, that is what we do. The time of man, when we look at the age of man, the time of man has traveled through the ages, through now, as we know, almost 6,000 years of man's existence. As you look at that, I think of that in my mind as like a chain. And each link in the chain and each age of man is like a chain, extended chain of time. And each link, each age connected to the next age of man. Each one of us in this room, if you're older, see, I don't say old. I spare everybody that word. I just say if you're 90, you're old, you're older, okay? I don't say old, I just say older. But if you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and some of you have probably great-great-grandchildren, you have several ages of time, several generations that are linked together, and that is a wonderful thing. This world, this age that we're living in now, is going to be linked to the world to come. Brethren, we're in that pilgrimage again. And I love to say, using that analogy of a time machine, that time machine has no reverse in it. It only has drive. Go forward. Don't try to put your vehicle in neutral and go anywhere. And if you're driving in reverse, you're going the wrong way. We cannot build bridges back to the past. We cannot dwell in the past. We cannot live in the past. As a spiritual lesson of forgiveness, we cannot go back and hold grudges and have resentments to others. They have to be what? Gotten rid of. The past will hold any of us hostage if we don't turn it loose. We cannot be held hostage to who we were at one time. If you have been repentant and know that God has forgiven you, you've only got a future ahead of you. Your past is gone. That is what baptism, repentance and baptism pictures, to kind of put a little seeding of a salvational type message in this as well. Because we are living in this present time. We have not arrived on the shores of the kingdom of God yet. And we're still here. We're still going through time, traveling through time, trying to just get through each day, are we not? Each day that we go through, we are trying to just simply, what? Get through that day. Many who are listening in that could not be here, many of those people have severe health problems. Many of you in this room are suffering from some severe health problems. And you know, all of you, where I'm coming from. When it's all you can do to get up in the morning and get through each day with the problems of the health issues that you're dealing with, and you what? You march and you keep moving forward. What's that old expression? Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that's what we do as Christians. We fall down, do we not? Spiritually speaking. Do we not fail so much of the time? Do we not so much of the time, like the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, do we not, those things we want to do, we don't always do them. And the things we'd like to do, we don't seem to do those. If Paul had such a struggle, and he would not have written about it, had he not, where does that leave us? Understand, you're in the struggle. You're in the fight. As I tell people, if you're giving effort and you're fighting, that's what God wants. He wants to see us fight to survive spiritually. Don't give up the fight. Stay in the fight. Stay the course. Because we're moving with vision. And that vision is of what? A prophetic nature. Because the vision takes us from this world to the world that's coming. If we cannot see that world coming, how can we process the present? If we cannot see it, how can we live in the present? As a past home builder and remodeler, and I tell folks, all those years that I was in construction, and I did many a remodel project as well, someone calls me and says, look at this home, I want you to add this addition, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. I had to see it finished in my mind's eye before I started the project. You have to see it in your eyes before you can achieve it. And if you don't see it now in the present, you'll never achieve it. You have to see yourself on the shores of the kingdom with all the other saints one day. And if you can see that with the vision, you will be there. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, I was so thankful nobody used Hebrews 11 yet. And if someone uses that after me, that'd be great because God has inspired them to come back to it. By the way, you remember that voice always told us, go back to the trunk of the tree. Stay with the trunk of the tree. Repetition is a good thing. And that's what these holy days, the Feast of Tabernacles, and all the holy days remind us. Year after year, as we travel from year to year, and we keep these annual holy days. They are reminders, and we do it by repetition because one of the greatest R words, as I've said to people, one of the greatest R words in Scripture is God says, remember. Remember, because we are such forgetful creatures. Are we not? We're in Hebrews 11. Go to verse 13. These spiritual heroes that Hebrews 11 talks about, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity, notice that, to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Brethren, the same place, the same destination is being prepared for us. We are being given the same opportunity, the same calling, one spirit, one God, one calling. And we share that together. They came before us, but we shall not precede them, as I will show you here momentarily. Well, I read these verses, and these verses tell me again that we are traveling through this world, and it's not our world, as the song so beautifully expressed that we heard. This is not our home, and I'm glad it's not. We will go back to our respective homes, all of us, when we leave the feast. And home is home sweet home. And we prize our homes back home, those physical homes. We prize the possessions that we have, and that is a good thing. But we also, with vision, understand that they're only temporary. If we live 70, 80, 90 years, someone else will inherit what you've got. So we do know that there is no return. If you look at verse 40, look down to verse 40 of chapter 11. As the writer of Hebrews sums this up, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Brethren, what a wonderful, wonderful promise and a wonderful declaration here by the writer of Hebrews. That says that we shall all receive it together at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. When the seventh trumpet sounds, all the saints are going to receive glory together. We know that the dead rise first, but right after, those who are alive, and we all shall be caught up to meet Christ in the air, all will receive the inheritance together. And I love the way the writer of Hebrews expressed that. A beautiful, beautiful words. It was their vision, and it is our vision. And it is the same vision. And without that vision, there is no hope in the present. It is only with that hope that was alluded to there again in Jeremiah 29. And I love that verse too. That he is preparing for us a hope and a future. That vision, brethren, is ours to have. We're here at this Feast of Tabernacles, and we're being reminded also, as we observe these days, as we are looking forward to the kingdom of God and to be in that world, we're also reminded that we're still here again as temporary dwellers. Again, dwelling in booths, dwelling in these temporary places. And even your life itself and my life is a temporary dwelling. One has to only read 2 Peter and read the words of Peter there in 2 Peter, that letter, and he knew that his time was short, and he knew, as he expressed it, that that physical tabernacle was about to play out. Brethren, the time and the age that we live in is going to continue to test and try us all. And it's already been said, let me use a little Southern speak. It ain't gonna get no better. It's scary out there. There's a book titled by that name, written a few years ago. Well, if he were to come back and write the book now, he'd say it's getting a lot scarier out there. The world that we're looking at now is becoming a world, of course, that we no longer, especially those of us who are older, do not recognize. I tell our children, the young people, the America that I knew 40 and 50 years ago is not the America that I see now. This nation that I saw 40, 50 years ago is not the nation now, and it's changing so rapidly. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Here was a man who had taken over from Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, we read verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm given to them, the children of Israel. You come on down to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The same words that we find in Hebrews 13, they're about verse 6 or 8. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, the same instruction from God to Israel, physical then, is the same instruction to spiritual Israel, the church today. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people, that is you today, also you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them, except ours is a spiritual inheritance. And we are doing what? We're in that sense kind of making deposits in the present, right? And then one day, that will be redeemed by the grace of God when he changes us from mortal into immortality. Verse 7, only be strong, very courageous, with that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That says to me, as we're traveling, that we don't veer to the left or the right. What's that old expression? We keep it between the lines. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those are promises not only to ancient Israel, but promises to us, the church today, that he will be with us wherever we go. As you leave the feast this year, after the eighth day is over, and whenever all of us leave, may God be with you when you go back to your respective homes. Maybe we'll sing that song, the last song, God Be With You. You know, as a historical moment in my mind, in my life, I can remember as a child, we always sang that song as we left the Feast of Tabernacles each year, God be with you. And I would see people pulling handkerchiefs out and people crying because we knew not only that we had another year to face that world that we're in, but we would not see some of those people ever again in this life. Some of us in this room will not be around next year. That's just the law that exists. And we will say goodbye. But no matter if we never see each other again, some of us, we will see one another in glory. I really appreciate Mr. Keller's bringing that out and connecting the fact that we don't receive glory without a certain amount of suffering in this life. Go to Philippians. Mr. Keller's was there actually the other day. Philippians, looking at this clock over here. Philippians chapter 3. We find Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul writes, but indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He's talking about this present world, and he comes on down, verse 12, that I have already attained, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on. That's a forward moving motion. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting what, brethren, those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul did not let the past hold him down, hold him back. Paul did not live in the past. Paul built bridges to the future. Our bridges are connected to our future, and that is to the kingdom of God that's coming. Our vision is connected to tomorrow and the day after that, and ultimately until Christ comes and his kingdom comes with him. In Paul, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. We press onward in the call that we've been given, knowing that we've been given a superior vision. John F. Kennedy, before a joint session of Congress in May 25th, 1961, John F. Kennedy, before a joint session of Congress, said, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. And those of us who were alive and so well remember the 60s and remember that we landed men on the moon before the decade was out. He put a vision before the nation, and the nation had that vision, and we achieved it. We cannot achieve the future without vision. Vision is what helps us to achieve what we want to do tomorrow. We make plans today, or nothing tomorrow gets done. God has put a vision in front of us. He's put a vision in front of us through our calling, and then that calling leads to conversion. A calling's no good if we don't use it to become converted. Many are called, few are chosen. We must go beyond just being called. We must move into conversion, and we know that we love to use the expression, it is a road of conversion, and we travel that road of conversion. It's called in Scripture the highway of holiness, the highway of salvation. And we travel it in this physical life. Can you picture Neil Armstrong and those men with him who stepped onto the moon for the first time in 1969? Can you imagine looking back at Earth and seeing how far away Earth was? Have you ever thought about that? They had entered a whole new world. Here they were walking on the moon. It was considered impossible. There are people who still believe they never walked on the moon. They thought it was somewhere out in Arizona, I think, recreated. God has put a promise in front of us. He has not only just put a vision, he has put a promise that's 100% guaranteed to be delivered. I heard long ago a minister say, it is God's choice to call us. It is our choice to respond. These days, brethren, pictures us literally stepping into time and stepping forward. Remember Neil Armstrong said, that first step that he took on the moon, he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Are we beginning to get the picture? We're taking small steps now in this physical life, right? But we're preparing to take a giant leap one day into eternity with God in Jesus Christ. Saints across the ages will come together. As verse 40 of Hebrews 11 said, saints from all the ages will come together, and we will forever be together as a family for eternity. The first fruits are a family for eternity. The first fruits are kings and priests for eternity. If that's not enough to what? Grant us vision, then I don't know anything else to say. As I begin to close this message, we came here to be motivated. We came here to be inspired. I hope that we all can go home motivated, inspired, no matter what the world dishes out to us this coming year, no matter how scary the world looks or gets, and I do feel personally a shaking is coming. I do. That's a personal speculation on my part. I think another shaking is coming. How far we have drifted as a nation since 9/11. There's a little cemetery in the rolling hills of northeast Mississippi. It's where my parents are buried. Many of my family members on my mother's side are buried. It's the place where she went to that little Methodist church growing up. There's a grave there with a tombstone. It's one of the most unique tombstones I've ever seen. He was 22 years old when he died. I don't know what he died of. I didn't know him personally. But the inscriptions on the tombstone are absolutely unique. On the inscriptions of that 22-year-old in the cemetery where my parents are buried, on the front of the tombstone it says, "Stepping into something big with God." And then on the back of the tombstone it says, "God, after all this has passed, we still will remain. After we've cried our last, there'll be beauty from pain. We cling to your promise that we'll be made new, because all of our hope, O Lord, is in you. When it's all we can do to get through the day, we trust that you, God, will bring beauty from pain." That's on that tombstone of a 22-year-old. And it's hard for me sometimes when I'm in that cemetery not to walk over there and look at that and look. It's got his picture on the tomb as well. One day I will meet him. In the eighth day, I will meet him and get to know him. What a beautiful message he left to anyone who looks at that. Brethren, while you yet remain here at this feast, may your visit and your visit and vision for the future, may it what? Empower you in the present. May the hope of the future empower each present moment of this coming year. And may you realize that you are getting ready to step into something very big with God.